It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than watching the New York Jets while you're sober. I promise you it is. I promise you we're better than that. You could join our chat room, Denpen. Go to davincomedy.com. Click live broadcast. Also, watch us, if you want, on the Davin's Den Facebook page. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Everybody.
And Joe will be rounding young virgins momentarily and joining us. On the show, in School of Fools, a judge says Florida can't limit discussions about race in college. The federal government tells New Jersey to stop having funny traffic signs. Comics in the news, and we weigh in on Dave Chappelle's SNL monologue that some felt was anti-Semitic. That's Joe's blog. I've actually gone back and forth on my opinion, not on Joe's blog, on what I think about Chappelle's monologue, if you will. I am of two minds, and I am out of both of them. It's kind of an interesting topic. Could have done it last week, but we were doing the Kathy Griffin thing last week. So I push it off. An outstanding display of spite that features a pop star, Kanye West, and pants. We'll tell you about that. And drunks in the news, a dry World Cup, thanks to Qatar. You will not be getting your drink on in the stadium. And scamming scammers. So what's new, Pip? Anything new and exciting?
Well, you know what? Just before I got into... you know, Davin's Den mode, I excitedly opened up a box that I got of a delivery of something that I ordered online, and I was like, oh, good, I can't wait to see this piece of crap. I ordered a Christmas wreath that was handmade, and it was showing all these nice ornaments arranged in wreath shape, and it was really beautiful, and it had, for connoisseurs of Christmas ornaments, there was a brand in the 50s, 60s, maybe 70s called Shiny Bright. And we had Shiny Bright ornaments on our tree, and they're nostalgic for me. And this person made a wreath, and it looked like they had some... they're probably not the originals, but maybe replica of that style in the wreath. And I thought, this is amazing. And it was a little bit expensive, so I thought, well, yeah, they might even be real ones for this price. So I ordered it because I thought, wow, this is really a really nice piece. It makes me feel good. And then I opened the package. And this piece of trash is not... what they said it was. First of all, it's supposed to be like 20 by 20, like 20 inches round. It's like 12 and change around.
Did they specify the dimensions in the...
Yeah.
All right. So then they lied and you send it back and that's that.
Yeah. But it's like...
what was this, on Etsy or something? This sounds like an Etsy thing.
No, it was actually advertised on Instagram.
Oh, good. Good. Well, do you pay attention to nothing we cover here? Really? You can't order stuff off Instagram. There's so much scams on social media. You're lucky you got anything. Good luck trying to return this piece of crap.
Actually, I've gotten everything that I ordered on Instagram. There's only, there was an order of clothes, actually two orders of clothing, so I don't order clothing like that anymore, only from established places. There were two things that I ordered clothing-wise that were, well, one was the amazing see-through pants that I learned about when I wore them to work. Yeah, that was a special day. I was wearing polka dot undies. And everyone knew.
Stupid. Oh, that, I feel like we should have been informed about that long ago.
Yeah, that was... Oh, yeah, no, it was one of my co-workers came up to me and she goes, "Nice new pants, but I just have to tell you, they don't have quite as much coverage as you think."
Oh, that person's way nicer than I would have been. I would have been like something, you know what I really like? I like dots. I like dots. I like, and then whatever color they are, I would have been like, I like, you know, black dots. I'm a big fan of, not as much as you like dots, but I like dots.
I would have known immediately what you meant.
Yes, yes, but my way is much more entertaining. And I feel like you would have been that much more mortified with the tack that I took.
Oh, no, it was plenty mortifying.
Right, I know that. No, I understand, but I feel like my tact would have been... Because you would have been, like, unawares, like, what's he talking about? And then, like, yeah, I would have seen you try to figure out what the hell's going on, and then the light bulb would have gone off, and that would have been worth it for me. That's my holiday cheer.
Well, the ladies in the office got a special treat because then I had to show the other ones and go, look... Look what happened to me. And so for a little while, my office nickname was Polka Dot.
Why, you got to go home when that happens. You can't stay. You got to go.
No. I. You know what? I just pulled down my shirt and made sure that my shirt stayed down because it was long enough to cover my butt, but I had reached over a desk, and that's when the offense was obvious. So,
well, that's more brown eyes than I expected to see. They're all over the place.
Yeah, it was definitely an HR moment.
Oh, good God! Yeah, somebody could have complained.
I know they could have thought I'd done it on purpose, but trust me, this was not done on purpose.
Pip is exposing herself again. I feel uncomfortable.
There was another time where one of the ladies in the office had. Something chocolate had escaped from with something she was eating and got on her seat. And she sat on it. There was chocolate on her butt. And so that was a funny day, too.
Yeah, but that could happen to anybody. Your pants scenario could only happen to you.
Yeah, I knew they were too cheap to be true, and they
Did
were.
You? Even China said we're not making that shit.
Oh, they laughed at me. China laughs and laughs at me.
Yeah, China didn't even make it. They're like, you know what? We're not even going to abuse our small children to make something this cheap. Send that shit to Malaysia. Those are Malaysian pants.
Vietnam wouldn't stoop to that level.
Oh, they might. They might still be sore over the war. So,
they make clothes, and I've gotten some nice items that apparently, according to the tag, were made in Vietnam. But I've never been polka dot pantsed by Vietnam.
So you're gonna have to send back this Christmas tree.
Yeah, well, it's a wreath. Yeah, I just finished writing them. I am so heartily disheartened by your craft work, Madam.
Oh, for Christ's sake! It's a craft, stupid. It's a wreath. You'll be okay. Walk it off. Walk
no,
it
I
off.
Just said, the ornaments aren't as nice as you advertise. It's not the right size.
They know.
So send me a shipping label.
They know. They know it's a piece of shit.
They have to know.
Yeah, of course they know. What, you think this is the first time they're getting something sent back to them?
You know what? And I really, their site made it look like this person. And they had really good reviews.
Oh.
So I was like.
Oh, really? Now, this particular item had good reviews?
Yes.
Interesting.
So I was like, oh, well, they're handmade, so maybe they reached the bottom of the barrel of the ornaments they had set aside for this particular item when they got to mine.
Maybe they realized you're not a true believer, so they didn't think you'd care.
I know, but you know what? I still do the you know, the trimmings of Christmas, even though I don't believe in the reason for the season.
Yeah, why? I mean, it's kind of, you know what? I guess it's akin to me not really eating pork. For what? It's stupid. Or me not eating shellfish, which I get called out on routinely by members of this household, I'll have you know. But really? Oh, yes. They have a problem with my choices. Like, you're not even religious. You don't even believe in this. I don't know. Because there's no logic. There's no logic for you doing Christmas because you don't give a shit. You don't care. You're not going to church.
I wasn't always a heathen, though.
But you are now.
Church-going lady.
But you are now.
But it's nostalgia, actually.
Whatever. Yeah, nostalgia. Mr. Helix doesn't. Mr. Helix could care less about this. You could decorate your tree with drumsticks, and he'd be just as happy.
Yeah, actually, that's very true.
Yeah. So yeah, we get caught in the trappings of shit we did as kids. That's what this is. But here's the difference between my trapping. And your trapping. Your trapping costs you money. My trapping saves me money. Have you seen the price of lobster and shrimp? Please.
I actually have not investigated that because I am allergic to those foods.
I don't
eat them anymore.
Not my choice. I still don't really eat pork, and I still don't eat shellfish, and it still drives these people nuts. It's like, why? What do you care? What do you care?
Well, I just found it interesting that you had never eaten pork since you're not observant. So I asked you once, and you told me, you know, you just don't want to. And I was like, that's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't stop them from eating it. You eat whatever you want. Eat whatever you want. You're not going to go to heaven, but that's your soul, not mine.
Yeah, there's food that I am not allergic to or I have no religious reasons why I can't eat it. I just choose not to.
But to be fair, nothing smells and looks more delicious than bacon. I probably am depriving myself for a stupid reason.
Probably.
But ham, keep it. No interest. Sausage, keep it. No interest. Lobster, crab, shrimp, no interest. Bacon's the one where if you look what's, and I eat turkey bacon and that's pretty good, but bacon's the one where you go, yeah, it just doesn't make sense, but I'm fine. I'm happy with it.
Turkey bacon is good for health reasons, but it is a pretender to the throne. You do understand that?
I am nowhere near a throne, so I'm fine with pretenders. It's fine. Yeah, because I mean it's healthier for you. It's better this way because if I liked bacon, I really shouldn't eat bacon, so I'd have a lot more of a struggle. But my daughter likes the it's weird. My daughter will have she likes Beyond Burgers, which are rather tasty. Although you have to get the Beyond Burger just right, and you can't eat it the next day, but that's a whole other thing. The Beyond Burger, but she likes it with cheese and bacon on it, which kind of defeats the purpose, but, you know, okay.
I mean, it does, but I mean, sometimes you just want to take a healthier, not the healthiest, but a healthier option, you know, cut back some of the damage you're doing.
Yeah, but she's doing it, but...
No, but I mean, you know, it's the same logic as some people. They get used to putting like Sweet'n'Low or whatever their favorite artificial sweetener is in their coffee, and they'll have a donut with the same coffee. It's just what you get used to, what your preferences are. Trying to cut back in little ways, even though if you're splurging on others, it's a fight. It's a struggle. The struggle is real.
The struggle is real. So we.
Oh my God, it is.
So we. I have never owned. A residence that had a real fireplace. We had a fakakta fake fireplace in my townhouse for years, which we never used. I don't know why we had it. Actually, we still do have it. It's in my garage. I don't know why we still have it. It just takes up space. But some members of the family can't give it up. So I have never had.
I understand.
Of course you do. You do, but not me. But whatever. It's not worth going to war over. It doesn't cost me anything. It's just like, why do we have this? I mean, at one point we were going to sell it for 50, and then the woman tried to get it to 30, and my wife's like, no, screw you, forget it. So, whatever. But
well,
anyway.
You know what? I have a fake fireplace as well, even though we have a real fireplace that we don't fire up because I'm a little afraid of real fires in the house.
Well, I mean, your oven is a real fire.
I know it is, but it's contained.
Is it? Is it, though?
Totally. Totally. And but our fireplace, even though the first thing we did when we moved in is I had them clean that sucker, because I was like, if we're going to attend to try this, we need to have it really thoroughly cleaned before, you know, get other people's dead birds out of it before we start, you know.
So you've never used the fireplace?
No, not in this house, no.
So we fired it up on Sunday evening. As I said, I've never had one. My wife had one growing up. But I will tell you this about fire. Hell of an invention. Pain in the ass to keep it going. Really is quite... fires are... They're needy suckers. They are needy entities, the fire.
Yeah. Yes, it was fuel.
And they're very picky, despite what the press would have you believe, about what wood they will burn. I mean, if you just turn on the news in California during fire season, a fire will take everything. I submit, I can stop a fire with my hand-picked wood. The fire will stop and go, yeah, you know what, California, you're good. I'm not burning this type of fire, this type of wood. I don't know why it does that, but it does. So the wood, you can actually get wood seasoned. A little salt, a little pepper, a little oregano.
I prefer Mrs. Dash, but that's me.
I like Mrs. Dash, too. It was actually the name of my Spanish teacher, too. But anyway, true story. The seasoned wood burns quite nicely. It's also kind of expensive. But sometimes people will give away wood and logs. So we get those because we've used them for the fire pit. So the seasoned wood, you know, you can really get yourself a nice fire going, but a lot of the other wood, it hasn't been split. So it's like covered in bark and apparently that protects the tree, except in California.
Well, it doesn't protect it from a raging inferno.
Right. Well, that's what it is. Yeah. You have to get the wood so hot, the fire so hot that finally it gives in and goes, all right, I'll burn this too while we're here. You've given me the seasoned wood. You've given me the cardboard and the kindling. As long as I'm raging, I'll take this wood too. But I'm not going to do it to start. You got to romance me. Yeah, so.
Absolutely. You have to work your way up to the big wood.
Yes, you do. So we get this fire going, and it's going for a few hours. And then at one point, the smoke alarm goes off, which shouldn't be.
Oh, shit.
Which should not be, but it is getting smoky in the house, which it shouldn't, because the flue is open and, you know, has the insert, the fans on. But I guess one of these particular types of wood is really smoking. So we get that under control, and then I'm getting sleepy. Baby needs bed. So I'm like, all right, let's go to bed. You know, you could put encase the fire in the fire, you know, fireplace pretty much. I'm always like, like you, I don't feel comfortable going to bed with the fire still going, even though in years past, that's what you did. In order to maintain the heat in your house, you had the fire going while you slept. But
right.
But she doesn't feel comfortable with that. It's like, okay, I'll shut it off. I'll shut it off later. I'll close everything up afterwards. So I go to sleep. She goes down around 12:30, makes sure everything's nicey-nice, takes care of it and everything. I wake up around 2:30 to the sweet, sweet sounds of carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide.
Yours doesn't just whistle, it yells at you.
It's telling me what the problem is. It's not only tattling, it's telling what I did wrong.
Wait, carbon monoxide, you douche!
So now I got, and it's really cold on Sunday, now I gotta go downstairs, gotta open up all the windows, gotta turn on the ceiling fan in there. That's what you do with carbon monoxide, you open up the windows and, you know. You hope you hope you don't get it. You hope you fall asleep and die, or you don't get a chill. These are the things that you deal with.
Look at the small animals you live with. How you doing, Nacho? You okay?
Oh, they were fine. I didn't even think about them, to be honest, because I'm opening the windows. So I go back up to my my daughter's room, and she's still hard at work working because she pulls all nighters. I opened up the door. I go, didn't you hear that? hear what? So she's got her noise-canceling headphones on, working. She doesn't hear the carbon monoxide tech to go on. I go back into my room. Wife's sound asleep. She don't hear it either. Apparently, yeah, if it's not for me, they'd be dead right now.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
That's insane, right?
Yeah, that is insane.
So.
Where's your carbon monoxide detector?
No, we have several, but this one is in the room where the fireplace is. In the living room. On the far...
And the other ones would start yelling upstairs when it started to move, but... It's a little late by then.
Yeah, well, that's not. I mean, it's warning you. But, I mean, I took care of it. It's like, we got to get a handle on this fireplace situation.
Yeah. Then, well, see these? My furnace, years ago, I think I told this story on the show before. But years ago, when I lived in my previous house, the old house, the... old furnace, the mice ate the insulation inside the furnace, so it caved in, and the heat got so intense, the burners fused, and so the furnace stopped working properly, and then the carbon monoxide detector went off, and it was just blaring, and the cats were looking at me like, make it stop, and open the windows, you know, air the place out, but... Once you have that happen, you don't really feel like lighting fires
well,
on purpose in your house.
I mean, here's the problem. Your cats are complaining. It's their friggin' fault. Hello? You have one job. There is one predator that could one prey that could possibly be in this house, and you can't handle it, and then you're whining that it's too noisy. Ugh.
I know. They drop the ball, and then I'm looking at them like canaries in a coal mine. Like, you guys okay?
You know what Joe would say? Joe would say your cats are millennials. That's what Joe would say.
they were the ones that were there at that time period were not the best mousers. The ones I have right now would tear the crap out of mice if they get in here.
So, we are hosting Thanksgiving, which is its own little thing, because my sister-in-law always hosts, but we got this big house with the big dining room. Had to have the big dining. Got a very big dining room. We got a nice sized dining room. So the point was,
now you
got to
break it in,
right? So we were going to host the holidays, but my brother-in-law's mother is very old, and two of my sister-in-law's mother is very old, and they can't make the trek up here. So my sister-in-law is going to host again, and we are going to have one at my house. But my sister-in-law who hosts has COVID-19. Got it last week. She feels okay, just has the sniffles, but has COVID-19. But her sisters are coming, and her kids are coming. So we decided, well, you know what? We should... you know, let them know that they could come here.
Yeah.
But, so my sister-in-law is still testing positive. She tested positive today with a light line. I'm amazed that nobody's reached out to go, like, because this is the point where you should go, you know what, let's come to your house. Don't call me Thanksgiving morning. Don't call when I can't buy any more stuff. Because I can still buy stuff. We have a lot of stuff.
Right.
But I can still accommodate as many people as I need to accommodate. But it's like, okay, whatever.
I have a window now. Don't be calling me at like 9 o'clock and saying we're heading up. Because there's not a gigantic turkey in that oven at that point.
You know what? If they did, it would be fine. But it's just kind of weird. But anyway,
you're all gonna eat less.
it's fine. Well, it's fine. So we got to get it. We got what, Joe?
Hey.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
I don't know. I can't see you though.
Yeah, let me. Hold on.
All right.
He'll pop up.
So last week we got to get a kosher turkey. Got to get a kosher turkey, and apparently Trader Joe's has kosher turkeys. I've never been to a Trader Joe's, and I certainly didn't know.
Nor have I.
I certainly didn't know Trader Joe's had kosher turkeys. So my wife calls several Trader Joe's last week, and They're not getting any more shipments of kosher turkeys. Apparently, you can only slaughter so many kosher turkeys. And then and then it's done. So she calls one place, they don't have. Calls another place, they don't have. All Trader Joe's. Calls another place, they don't have. Like, calls four Trader Joe's. Finally, one place has. They're like, we got four kosher turkeys, but no savesies. We can't save them for you. So you got, so we're about like an hour or so away.
Oh, man.
From Trader Joe's. We're not, you know. So
yeah.
We get in the car, like 15, 20 minutes later, get in the car. The supermarket, Trader Joe's parking lot is packed. Packed to the gills. So I tell my wife, I'm going to just drop you off in front, get the turkey. I'll meet you in there. I'll find a parking spot. That old gag. So my wife.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's going to be in there throwing elbows like nobody's business.
Yeah, she doesn't really. I don't. She's not really an elbow thrower.
Oh, I would be to get at those four, you know, one out of four kosher turkeys left.
Well,
yeah.
So she gets there, and in front of all the turkeys. All the frozen turkeys, not live turkeys. All these women are staring. What they're staring at, I don't know. But there's indecisiveness going on. And there's one turkey left. And my wife wheedles herself in there and grabs the last kosher turkey.
Good girl.
And then, like, I guess this woman's, like, looking at her like, and my wife's like, hey, you snooze, you lose.
Grab it or shut up.
Yeah, I don't understand.
There's one left.
What are you guys doing? Rock, paper, scissors? Let's go.
Get in there. Yeah.
You don't understand. There is a shortage of kosher turkeys.
And Jews gotta eat. So
well,
get
I,
in there.
I don't
eat
know.
Your last kosher turkey.
I don't know if I feel comfortable with you making jokes at the Jews' expense right now. We'll get to that later.
Well, this is true.
We'll get to that later.
But I know my Jewish friends. They love to eat.
Yeah, all your friends love to eat. Everybody loves to eat. You're not running around with a bunch of skinny minis, all right? Relax.
No, actually, I do know, like, very fit people. I didn't say
you don't know them. You're out in the public. I didn't say you don't know them. But
no, my friends.
Okay.
My friends are good.
Okay. Oh, sure they are, dear. They're all in tip-top shape. None that I've ever seen. Your husband's in good shape.
Yeah, you don't know all of my friends.
I only
a bunch of them.
Oh, okay. But well, the ones that I know are much like us. They seldom refuse a good buffet. So
I certainly have some of those.
And I'm not. I put myself in that same category, but yeah. So now that we got Joe, last week I went to see Ace Frehley. Now, before I get yelled at, the ticket was free. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, a free Ace Frehley ticket. Why not? Now, I saw him years ago when I was in college, and he seemed drunk at the time, and it was He probably was, and it was fine, and there wasn't a lot of people there. So, here's what I know. First of all, they have this opening band that looks right out of the 80s, but they don't sound like out of the 80s, called Roz Chron. I don't know what the hell they're called. Doesn't matter. That's the problem with being an opening band. Even if you make an impact, I can't be bothered to remember. I've seen good opening bands. But what was interesting about this opening band was it was like the price. It was like, what was it, Price is Right? What's the one where Let's Make a Deal where they ask you to find things in your purse?
Yeah, Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah.
Let's make a deal. Because with every song, the lead singer's like running off stage, going behind the curtain, and he's coming back with a different prop. One time it's a hammer, another time it's a briefcase, another time it's like something to like cast spells. I've never said it's so fucked.
What the hell?
I don't know.
A sandwich
because
he's hungry.
And it was just a weird. And why do you have to run on stage? Just have yourself a little goodie bag on the front of the stage and go, all right, now we're the going to work band. We got our briefcase. Let's go. I don't, whatever.
Yeah, it's like the props department has to work on this scenario.
Oh, I assure you, dear.
Running off.
I assure you, dear. There was no props department. And I will say this. The bassist must have found like Razzle or another dead 80s rocker to get his outfit off of. Because you're just not finding a fishnet outfit at the Salvation Army. I've looked. You just can't find. Like, I mean,
there's a couple of places that sell rock clothes online. You go to.
Oh. Well, thank you for doing the investigation that was needed for this story.
you're shopping in the wrong places. You can find it.
Apparently, I am. I'll just get it off Instagram like you do with all your purchases.
Oh no. No, then everyone will see your polka dot panties.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, all right, so they're fine. Now, Ace is the star. He's still living off of his Kiss years, to be fair. You know, there's not a lot of people that are saying, God, I hope he plays a deep cut off of the Trouble Walking album, which I own, and I happen to like the song Trouble Walking. But nobody's asking for classic Ace. There's not a lot of classic Ace out there. But you're the star. You're living off the Kiss years. Good for you. You might as well. His band is way more energetic than him. And Alice Cooper kind of does that too, but he's still walking around with the top hat and the cane.
Yeah.
And, like, so he's like, so you assume, okay, he's the ringmaster. So it kind of works for Alice at this point to still do this, and Alice toured with Ace. Ace just looks lazy and tired.
He's probably just sober and tired is what he probably is. We opened for him 10 years ago, and we lost our shirts because he changed the venue. It was supposed to be a Friday night at this one club on the island. We were going to pack the place with our fans and stuff like that. It was Race Odyssey. And then they move the venue. The venue closes, and they have to move the venue to Sunday night after Halloween. After the nobody's coming out. And
no,
we had to decide. It actually wasn't very tight. It was McClinton. And the only reason we didn't bail on the gig is that Johnny and Chris love Ace Frehley. They're a hero. So it's like, you know, it means a lot to these two guys. So you know, and we did the gig, and you know. We didn't get to meet him. They shoot us away like pigeons when he came by, even though we won the opening act. Johnny actually had a tattoo of Ace, which Ace filled in, and Johnny got a tattoo of, because Johnny adores Ace. So does Chris. So they had a good night. We got done with their set. I can't stand Ace Frehley. I wanted to go home, watch the Giants game. My car got blocked in. I walked back in the club, and the bouncer goes, "You need a ticket to get in here." And I go, "It's in the opening act." And he goes, "Well, how do I know?" I go, "Because I just got done. Listen to me." I go, "My car is blocked in the back. I want to go home and watch the Giant game. You think I want to sit and watch this shit?" And I was making comments. He's like, "We're rock soldiers, are we? You know, just I'll go home."
All right. Well, let me just double back about the opening band now that you mentioned you were the opening band.
Oh, my God.
I felt bad for the opening band because after you just do this set with your props and your rock and everything, and they're like, "Who do you want to see? Ace." Yeah. Anyway, "Who do you want to see? Ace." Okay, fine. They're paying homage to the guy. After you do your set, you got to lug your shit off in front of everybody. And it's just it's just so demeaning.
Yeah. And you probably had to pay a fortune. You had to pay up front to a guarantee. Yeah.
I don't think they did, because these guys are doing a bunch of dates. These guys are doing a bunch of dates with Ace, so I don't think they have the same scenario that a lot of the clubs around here do. And they were playing a theater; it wasn't a rock club. They were playing a theater. Anyway, I felt bad for them. Anyway, so after seeing Ace live now, and I saw Kiss with Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley on their farewell tour a couple of years ago, I can honestly say Gene and Paul deserve their money. You know, I have to say, forget that they're not really singing anymore and Ace is still singing. They're still running around and putting on the heels, and it's hard to do. These guys are in their 70s. They're still putting on a hell of a show. So you know what? I get it. Well, I get it while they don't want to pay Ace like a partner, because these guys have been doing it for years. And Ace is just gonna stand there like some 90s rock star staring down at his guitar. You know what chords to play, stupid. You've been playing the same songs forever. You don't have to stare at your hands. Look at me.
Yeah, I just paid a fortune for tickets. No lounging around the mic stand like you're doing a late show.
Underlay, move
around.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And then he does something.
Of a late show. You just fucking hanging on the mic. You know, you're getting paid in 20 minutes and you're almost done. Yeah, this fucking guy.
This fucking guy.
Who's this fucking guy over here? And then He goes, all right, who, like, in a really subdued voice, you know, who likes Biden? And there's like a smattering. Who, and then like in a really energetic voice, who likes Trump? And like more, which is fine if you're a political act, but your so big songs are Rocket Ride, which is about banging, and Rock Soldiers, as Joe mentioned before, which is about him dying young because he's a rock star and an alcoholic. like, I just, what? I looked at my friend, and she's a big Trumper. I think she's Facebook friends with Joe. I just looked at her, looked at my friend, and I'm like, for what? Like, you're not, why would you do this? You're not a political guy. Nobody gives a shit about Ace Frehley's politics. I will tell
no.
you.
We have to take back our country. Who wants to hear Cold Gin?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we're not taking back.
Please do that shit, please.
We are not taking back Detroit Rock City. Too many of the wrong type of people there.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's like, you know, it's like if you see the, I can't remember his name, Roger Waters. If you see Roger Waters, you know you are going to get bombarded with a lot of left-wing politics. You know that. Yeah. It's been out there long enough.
I know, and my old boss, we still talk, and he was, you know, we went to Roger Waters, and he's like, geez, everything he's preaching, and I go, you're seeing Roger Waters, dude, yeah, this is what you're buying, you know?
Yeah, you know that, and I'm not going to say Ace was about this all night, it just seemed like so out of place, besides the fact that he's an old white guy, besides that, it's like, I never thought, well, you know, I wonder what Ace Frehley's politics are.
Yes, I've
wonder
never
what
wondered that.
Cabinet is. That's what I care about.
What'd you say, Joe?
What I care about is liquor cabinet is. I mean, you know, it's like what he has in his liquor cabinet.
Well, my friend's friend saw him at Chiller a couple weeks ago, and supposedly Ace was like a douche, and they said that's the way he was acting like when he was drunk. So my friend thinks he's drunk again. I don't know. He says he's 16 years sober. I got no idea. How would I know? How would I know?
Yeah, he's totally burnt out from all the booze he's done.
He's got. He has to be there. There's a reason why he's constantly touring. He must be out of money.
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah,
you
know? And maybe he's just a douche.
I mean, I don't know.
Or drunk.
But what's interesting is like a lot of the old Kiss fans side with Ace over Paul and Gene. But like I said, you know, I don't know. I like the band Kiss. I've seen them all together. And I was just looking at what the product that, and he can't, Ace can't do what Kiss is doing. He doesn't have the space, the money for that. But I'm just looking at the effort that Paul and Gene still put into that product versus Ace just standing down there. Ooh, he did his smoking guitar thing, which he invented years ago. Okay, good. I don't know.
Because now I know where it was free. I'm like, I go, you went and you laid out money? What? Why? Why? I didn't even want to go when I was in the show. Yeah.
No, I mean, listen. I paid to see him years ago. I don't have a problem with Ace Frehley. I was more when he was touring with Alice Cooper. They did some dates together. I was a little bit more interested in that because I always enjoy seeing Alice Cooper. But for the listen, it was worth the price of free. But
yeah,
yes, that's the right price.
Yeah, I mean. Listen, it's kind of, and what's really interesting about these concerts, these legacy bands, and the offshoots of them is, no matter how old and ridiculous I feel, I can always count on seeing a bunch more older people looking even more ridiculous than me. like they're still dressing like it's 1984, except now their hair is like really long or their tits are sagging, and like the halter top isn't showing their belly, it's protecting a nipple. It's like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
A couple of years ago, we opened up at various bands. We've opened up for Joe Lynn Turner a couple of times. The last time was Fragile Sky. We opened up for Joe Lynn Turner. We got there and he had this big, tall, blonde guitarist. I don't have my glasses on. I'm half in the bag. Oh, they got this big German chick playing with him. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is dude. I don't give a shit. His name is Helga. Go, Helga. I called him Helga the whole fucking night.
Of course you did.
Yeah, exactly. So my final thing is, a couple weeks ago, I'm doing a show close by to here, and I'm opening for Uncle Floyd. They called it a double headliner show. I got paid headliner money. I assure you, Floyd got paid more money. It was interesting. The producers like, oh, you could do the same amount of time. Like, no, there's no need. It's fine. But what's interesting?
Before Floyd or after?
I went up before Floyd. But what's interesting is, I sold the place out a couple years ago, and I could have sold it out again. They hadn't really done shows. They tried a couple shows afterwards, but they didn't draw well. I'm like, it just doesn't make sense to have me and Floyd in this venue on this show because it's nearby. I can pack, but they want to. They're going to pay me the money. I don't care. Good. Anyway, and I always like seeing Floyd. You know, Floyd's Floyd. It's certainly a much different type of act than what I have and than what you're going to see any place. But, you know, it still connects with people. So anyway, I'm wrapping up. And I asked this couple something, because I'm wrapping up about something about marriage or something. And the guy goes to me with a puss on his face. He goes, how many times are you going to say the word fuck? He goes, first he goes, I'm just waiting for Floyd. I go, yeah, me too.
What a douche.
Yeah, how many times are you going to say the word fuck? Now, kids, how do you think I handled that?
Oh. A couple of times.
What'd you say, Joe? Yeah.
But you probably said it another couple of times.
What do you think I said, Pip? What do you think I did, Pip?
Oh, not just a couple of times. You were like, fuckity fuck fuck fuckerson.
Aw, I love you guys. You know me. I immediately went, fuck, 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 fuck. And I said, and now you can add that to the total.
Yeah,
I know I bring this up to you guys time and again. I don't understand why people who've seen me on stage, either the whole show or most of the show, attempt to do stupid shit with me like that. Like, I am going to care about them or their feelings. I really don't know. I don't think I give off that vibe.
I don't understand why someone is in at a comedy show and they're having a problem with obscene language. I mean, that's part and parcel of the gig.
I don't even know that I said it that many times. If I did, it was in conversation. The jokes are written clean, but whatever. I mean, this guy was being a dick, so I wanted to make his night a little worse.
Yeah. Well, did he, like, back down after you threw all the F-bombs at him?
No, I mean, he didn't back down. He didn't say anything. I mean,
you just pulled the F-bomb pin and lobbed it.
Yeah, I mean, some of the audience definitely liked it, and the people that know me, you know, some of them wondered what I was going to do, but I guess the ones that know me, like you guys know me, like my old neighbors were there from the other place, they kind of knew what I would do.
Funny.
I don't understand it. And again, if you're cool and you're nice, I'll have a conversation. I will stop my show to address your concerns. I've done it before. If you're like cool and nice, but if you're going to be a douche, I will out-douche you every time.
Yes.
So.
Well, what other venue is there? What else are you supposed to do in that situation? I mean, really asking, what else are you supposed to do?
Well, I mean, listen, plenty of comics will back down and say they won't do anything, or some will say sorry. I'm sure there are some, not a lot, and certainly probably less and less by the day, that have the tact that I have, because unfortunately, you know, that'll get you banned from a place. But I did not worry about that. I knew the owner liked me. I knew the booker liked me. I knew I had sold his place out before, and I knew we had a sellout crowd again, and I had people there. And I knew this guy wasn't going to get – I just had a really good set. This guy's not going to get it. That's the thing. You know what? If I'm struggling, all right, bring it on. You know what? Now you got me on my heels. If I'm eating my dick on that show, I get it. I have left myself open because I came to do a job and it has not gone well for whatever reason. But, you know, it's the same thing. You know, you guys have seen this. It's probably happened to you, Joe. You know, I'm waiting for you to say something funny. And I'll be like, well, I'm saying lots of funny things, and I'll say to them, and the clue is everybody else laughing. There's the clue. Like, I don't understand. Like, they are so, and it's not a young person thing, but they are just so looking so inward that they think their experience in a large group of strangers is the only experience, at least the only valid experience. Everybody else is wrong, which is so counterintuitive to the group psyche, because the group psyche is you go along to get along. When you're a large group of, I don't want to ruffle feathers. One on one, you might ruffle feathers, or in a, like 3-on-1, 4-on-1, 5-on-1. But when you get to 50, 60 people and the vast majority are on one side, it's counterintuitive to try to stand out and be a dick. It's just not the way human beings work.
Yeah,
but a lot of people don't realize that they're the problem.
Yeah,
true.
So if you're on your side, you're fine.
Yeah, well, that's a good way of saying it. They don't realize, like they think in this case I'm the problem. They think I'm the problem, but that's when you have to be self aware. Like, well, I got paid to be here, and even my wife seems to be enjoying it, but yet everybody else is the problem. It's, you know, it's the same thing. With the election deniers, you know, everybody's weighed in. The courts have weighed in. This, that, the everything else. But still, I know better. It's like there's no amount of evidence, and this is not nearly as serious or as conclusive as that. But it's still like, is this an American thing? I don't know if it's an American thing. Is this a new phenomenon or an old phenomenon? But the I know better than you, despite the evidence saying otherwise. I am right.
Well, you know, there is that phenomenon that where people who are really strong in their convictions, when confronted, will double down without even considering the other person's side because they've been confronted. And nope, going to stand my ground, no matter what. Now they're really not going to listen.
You guys doing anything good for Thanksgiving?
No. I'm working around. I'm doing things around. I'm getting ready for Santa Claus, setting up because I'm hitting starting right bright and early December 2nd. I got my first show, so I got to pick everything out. Thank God I keep good notes because I'll write very good notes when I pack this stuff. You know what I got to do and this, that, and the other thing. So I'll be working on that. Calling the family. I think I'm going over Anthony and Joe's aunt and uncle's house maybe on Thursday afternoon, and then just getting ready for Santa.
I invited you and you said you're too busy.
I know. I'm busy getting the Santa stuff ready.
Right, but you just said you're going over their house.
Yeah, but I'm doing stuff during the day. I'm getting that stuff out during the day. I've got a shitload of bills behind me I got to take care of. And I got to get set. I got to also work on video clips, you know, for my comedy and stuff like that. So I got a lot to do in the 4 days.
Did you ever contact the web guy?
No, that's one of the things I got to get set up for, because I got to get the clips and I got to go over him. I haven't had a chance to do it. I was going to do it in September, then I got the fucking accident and this, that, and the other thing. So, and what the problem is that during the week, you know, a busy week, usually Mondays there's band practice. Tuesday we do this show. Wednesday I go to Alibi. Maybe Thursday I have a gig or I got something to do then. And then and then there's the day program. By the time the weekend rolls around, I'm beyond exhausted. So, you know, I've been trying to get a chance where I can catch up and do some stuff, and I got to, you know, and that's what I got to do these 4 days. Hopefully I can get it done. That's why, you know, thank you so much for the invite. Very gracious, but I got to try to stay around here. My family, I'm going up at Christmas because my nephew's girlfriend, she's one of the hardest working people I've ever seen in my life, May. And
I met May. I like May. She's a nice girl.
You met them. Yeah. So she's working a double up at the hospital she works at. So, you know, we're really not doing the Thanksgiving thing. We're doing Christmas. So, you know, so I'm like, all right, these 4 days, I really got to get, because there's not much year left, and I really got to get up and running. I really need to get my clips, because there's other clubs I want to reach out to. Well, you have any clips of yet? Well, no, I don't have the website set up. I don't have the clips done. Well, you know, I can't be that stupid, so I got to try to get this fixed.
What are you doing, Pip?
Well, we're going over to my brother and sister-in-law's, and one of our friends who's kind of at loose ends this year is coming with us. So it's going to be a very small group, but that's tradition. We go over my brother and sister-in-law's most of the time, and that's going to be good, particularly because this year my sister-in-law is not cooking and I'm not cooking. We're ordering in because we're just like, all exhausted, so we're just like, let's just throw money at it. I can't.
There you go. Yeah, we are going to we're going to host here. A very small Thanksgiving, but we're going to host. Unless it turns into a very big one, which I said it could still happen because my sister-in-law has COVID. But yeah, okay. Like Thanksgiving. Yeah. Three important football games to watch. I'll be very happy.
Yeah. Also, another thing I got to do is, I'm getting another COVID shot. I'm going to walk in and get another COVID shot and maybe a flu shot tomorrow because I'm going to be, you know, with your kids or families and stuff like that.
No, at this point, you can't say you're against it because nobody's making you get it. You're doing it on your own. It's not like before you had to do it for work. You're doing this one because you want to.
Yeah, I'm just playing the game, you know.
No, but that's it. Before we could say you were playing the game. Now nobody's making you get shots. You're choosing to do that. You don't have to. You're not playing the game. You want to be safe. You believe it's going to keep you safe. That's what you're doing. Well, then don't do it. You don't have to do it anymore. Nobody, when you walk in, nobody's asking how many shots you got. This isn't 2021. You want to get this shot. Yeah. I guess that's painful to admit, but I mean, in the past, you would say you were playing the game, and I go, yeah, I got it. You don't have a choice. You have to. But
I just can't afford to get sick.
Yeah. Right, which I understand, but what you're saying is, I believe that this will keep me healthy. You're no longer playing the game. You've bought in, which is fine. I'll get one. I haven't gotten it yet. I'll get around to it. You know, I'm not in a rush like I was in the past. Probably because I've danced with COVID twice already. I'm like, what's one more time? But I'll get it. But it's certainly not playing the game. I believe on some level it'll keep me safer.
Yeah. There's no way for us to know individually what it's doing for us. But I just know that this was supposed to be a mild version that went around just recently, and it knocked me on my butt. I can only imagine if I hadn't had shots before, or if I'd gotten a previous one, or before the vaccines. Oh my God! I'm pretty convinced I'd be in the morgue, so I'm grateful for vaccines. Bring them on.
Yeah, my mom wound up in the hospital, and she had all the shots, and they said this is a mild case. Mild case. She wound up in the hospital on air, so you know, whatever. Listen, I won't get the flu shot because I'm not really worried about the flu. I don't get the flu, and if I get the shot will make me sick. So I'm not going to get the flu. I'm not going to get the flu shot. Watch, this will be the year I get the flu. So be it. But I'll probably get the COVID shot at some point. You know, it's hard to find a right time to do it. Maybe after Thanksgiving, get the shot.
Well, that's why I want to do it tomorrow, because if I have a side effect, I got 4 days to walk around like Ozzy. So.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. No, it's nice to have a buffer after you have one of those.
The last time when I got one last year, I made sure I had nothing to do, no gigs, no nothing. And yep. I was the same weekend. I'm setting up my Santa stuff. I couldn't get out of my own way, so I figured, all right, if I have a reaction to it, I'll walk around. If I wanted to lay down and take a nap, I've got nowhere to go, you know. Yep. So fuck it.
All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, we got School of Fools and a judge weighing in on Florida's attempt to stifle.
By the way, I just want to ask you a question. So yeah. You did go to your reunion.
No, I didn't. I went to the Ace Frehley concert. One of the
So where were those pictures? I thought you took some pictures with some classmates.
At the Ace Frehley concert.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I didn't go. My daughter had All State Regionals a concert that evening, which like so they picked like 125 kids from 5 counties for the orchestra, and my daughter was one of those kids. One of the violinists chosen, and they sound amazing. And these are populated counties, too. I mean, it's not Manhattan County, but these are populated counties. So it was a very good concert, so I did that.
Good.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's very, very talented. Very talented, that one. But anyway, so yeah, we do Florida wants to stifle speech in college. A judge says nay. The federal government wants to stifle New Jersey's sense of humor. Some people want to, I guess, stifle Dave Chappelle, although he's unstiflable, I guess. We have an outstanding display of spite and no booze for your World Cup if you're in Qatar. So lots of stuff to get to. On the break, we got new music from Radio Geist with Today and Rednecks with Glad Rags Jug.